It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. And let us surprise you.
This is Dan Ball on WEEI.
Here's my conclusion. And I shouldn't be reaching conclusions at 3:54 when I'm with you up until 6 o'clock. Everybody who tuned into the WEEI Red Sox Radio Network broadcast this afternoon is a winner, not just because you heard the Boston Red Sox defeat the Minnesota Twins 6-5 in spring training action, not just because you heard Garrett Crochet answer the news that he would be the opening day starter for the Boston Red Sox by absolutely shoving once again, because you heard that line from the always entertaining Will Fleming. David, can you re-rack that real quick? Can you run that back just for one moment? I want to make sure everybody heard that. So that
probably like Shibuzi said, one, here comes the two to the three to the four.
It may be spring training. It may be the middle of March, and we may still have a couple of weeks before opening day for the Boston Red Sox. 10 days, 2 weeks, however you want to quantify it. Will Fleming is in mid-season form with a line like that, and it punctuated a Red Sox victory on a Sunday. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. We're here on WEEI. Dan Ball with you. I got my man David Azar riding shotgun behind the glass. David, good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I know you celebrated your St. Patrick's Day accordingly in this area, so I appreciate you being able to make it out and do this show this afternoon. But we're with you up until 6 o'clock reacting to a Boston Red Sox victory and a slew of news. I could not get that word out for the life of me, but a ton of news that came out about the Red Sox. We know now the first three starters for the Boston Red Sox for games 1, 2, and 3. Opening day, Garrett Crochet, no real surprise there. And it's so refreshing. So the news comes out yesterday that Crochet is going to be the opening day starter for the Boston Red Sox. You see that come across your timeline. Alex Cora announces it. And the first thing that I see is the graphic that the Red Sox put out that Crochet is going to start opening day, and the 2023 opening day starter announcement. For all that remember, 2 seasons ago, the opening day starter for the Red Sox was, that's right, Corey Kluber, who finished with an ERA in, I think, 15 games, over 7 for the Red Sox that year. So that was the perfect encapsulation for me for just how far we as a fan base have come over the last 2 years, what this opening day looks like versus what it looked like 2 years ago. But reacting to the Red Sox, and we want to hear from you at 617-779-7937. That is the phone number. What did you take away from today's Red Sox win? And what have you been following in what has been a very eventful spring training for the Red Sox? And the topic of conversation has shifted numerous times during the spring, and we'll hit on all of those as it's gone from who's playing third base to who is starting opening day to who is going to start games 4 and 5 as more injuries continue to pile up and a number of different Red Sox starters won't be available come opening day. So you can join us on the line to react to the Red Sox at 617-779-7937. You can also text at that number. Would like to say hello to those joining us on our affiliates on the WEEI Sports Radio Network out in Cape Cod, Providence, Rhode Island, Worcester, Massachusetts, Portland, Maine, as well as Keene, New Hampshire, Claremont, New Hampshire, White River Junction, Vermont, and a special hello to the folks out in my neck of the woods out on 105.5 WWEI FM out in Springfield, Massachusetts. That was my affiliate when I was growing up listening to EEI, so a special hello out to you guys. You all can join the conversation as well. Same number, 617-779-7937. Taking you up until 6 o'clock this evening when we'll bring you a broadcast of Selection Sunday, as it's been conference tournaments all week long leading into tournament championships on Saturday into Sunday. We have a couple that are going on right now. Florida won the SEC earlier this afternoon, taking down Tennessee. Right now, Wisconsin leads Michigan in the Big Ten tournament final, and then UAB is up a point on Memphis in the American Athletic Conference Championship, AAC, whatever you want to call it. So those three are going on right now. Those are the final tournaments that are happening here on this Sunday, Selection Sunday at 6. So your entire bracket, your bracketology will be filled out after the end of our program here this afternoon here on WEEI. So stay tuned for that after, and then we'll have a full breakdown coming up on Monday. Full slate of shows coming your way, beginning with the Greg Hill Show at 6 a.m. on Monday. Okay, Red Sox thoughts, beginning with the rotation. And Garrett Crochet, who once again lives up to the nickname that he was given before he was even a member of the Boston Red Sox by Lou Maloney, that guy is a pig. His spring training ERA is now ballooned after giving up a run this afternoon to a shocking 0.87. The stuff just looks electric right now. It's a bit unfair that he's able to pair a 101-mile-an-hour fastball with the kind of breaking stuff that he has, does Garrett Crochet. And it's kind of an interesting juxtaposition that Red Sox fans were given this weekend when it comes to Crochet. Because yesterday, we saw Chris Sale on the mound for the Atlanta Braves, which is always just a little tough to stomach. It's forever, however long Chris Sale continues to pitch, and I mean for years and years, you thought he was on the way down, and then last year he turned in the kind of Cy Young performance that he did, sub-3 ERA, just looking like 2018 Chris Sale again for the Atlanta Braves. Then you see him on the mound in 2025 on the other side against the Red Sox, and it's just, as much as I personally don't hold any ill will against him, he was one of the most unlucky pitchers I've ever seen during the last few years. Of basically, as soon as he signed that contract extension, it seemed like he signed his death wish with the Red Sox. But some of it was unlucky, because that was, he got hit with a comebacker on the hand. That was part of it.
Yep.
The weird injury where he like fell when he was biking, trying to ride to BC to go work out, whatever it was. Just a number of different things where you shake your head and go, are you bleeping kidding me? This is what we have to deal with, and that's why Corey Kluber was the opening day starter in 2023. But I promise I won't bring that up again, because we saw the lefty that was supposed to be the ace, the savior, the guy that came to anchor the rotation for the Red Sox yesterday, and then you see the newfound ace and the fellow former White Sox southpaw in Garrett Crochet today. Now, I still reserve judgment on what this rotation is going to be over a full season, because I do think you still have a lot of unknowns. And that's something that you have to account for as a fan, because Crochet did it last year as a starter for the first time. And it's also prudent to remember that after he wasn't moved at the deadline of the 2024 season by the White Sox, it was essentially, we're going to get him through anywhere between 3 to 5 innings, and then we're pulling him. There was a serious innings restriction on him the last few months. So we really don't have one full season, 30, 31, 32 starts, anywhere near 200 innings for Garrett Crochet. And we don't really have a full season. There's some caveats to the term full for Tanner Houck either, because he did record 30 starts last year, and that was touted by the Red Sox as, this is, you know, he's here. The second coming has arrived. But during the back half of the season, after the All-Star break, as August became September, there was some wear and tear, as they're supposed to be for a guy who has never racked up those kind of inning totals. And you saw it with Houck. You saw it with Cutter Crawford for sure. Boy, oh boy, the ball was jumping out of the ballpark the last couple of months for Cutter. But you have to temper expectations a bit. All the stuff is there for Garrett Crochet. All the stuff is there for Tanner Houck to be, I would say, relatively dominant forces in the next few years, health notwithstanding, for the Red Sox at the top of their rotation. And those are the first two that will get a crack at it for the Red Sox when opening day comes around. Crochet followed by Houck. Then, batting third in your starting rotation, the only remaining healthy starting pitcher that you have. Remember when in January and February we were having all these conversations about, wow, are the Red Sox really going to try a six-man rotation? Look at all of these riches that are floating around the Red Sox. They're going to have to make a decision. Is Cutter Crawford in the bullpen? Is Lucas Giolito worthy of a spot? Are they going to go with a six-man rotation with Bayo, with Giolito, and with Cutter Crawford in some order in your 4, 5, and 6? Well, that decision was promptly taken out of Alex Cora's hands. And now we're having a conversation about not one depth starter for the Red Sox being pressed into action come opening day. Now we're talking about two, because there is uncertainty around Crawford, around Giolito, and around Bayo on what their availability is going to be come opening day. And, you know, reports vary. Looks like Giolito's going to start the year on the injured list. I don't know when we're going to see Cutter Crawford. I know he's starting to make progress, but again, the knee was an issue apparently for most of last year. And then coming into the spring, he more or less was shut down because of how bad it was. That's not just going to go away. So I don't know if it's a matter of what his pain tolerance is, what he can pitch through. Here's what I would say. If his knee is going to bark at a level that leads him to once again lead Major League Baseball in home runs given up, put him on the injured list and do whatever it takes to get him healthy, because I don't want to see that again. There's no value of trotting him out there so he can rack up a mid-4 ERA and give up key home runs every single time he's on the mound. So I'm not putting any kind of expectation onto what you get from Cutter Crawford. Giolito said he was fine, and then the next day promptly went for an MRI. So I'm not really sure what to believe there. And then Bayo's kind of up in the air, and it seems like they're being very cautious with him. So the decisions that are left for Alex Cora and company come down to these names. As Cora was speaking with reporters, including Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe, and members of our WEEI staff as well, Cooper Criswell, Richard Fitz, Quinn Priester, and then the one dark horse of the group, Brockton native and non-roster invitee Sean Newcomb, who has had a tremendous spring so far. 0.93 ERA in 9 2/3 innings this spring as a non-roster invitee for the Red Sox. Lefty who posted a 3.87 ERA in 332 and one-third innings of work from 2017 to 2019. He was a Braves prospect and really was part of a very promising up-and-coming group of pitchers for Atlanta that for one reason or another just kind of flamed out in certain spots. So he, for whatever reason, has been lights out in his, and he's been one of those guys again that you see in that you hear in the midweek games, you know, the 1 o'clock midweek games where maybe you get a regular or two if they're playing at home, but otherwise, if the Red Sox are playing on the road, you get mostly your Roman Anthony's and Marcelo Myers of the bunch. He's gotten a lot of those starts, but he's been outstanding. So what about the other three? Cooper Criswell is the one who Red Sox fans will probably recognize most. 26 games and 18 starts last year, a 6-5 record, a 4.08 ERA. He certainly has the biggest resume of any of the other three that are going to be in this conversation. Quinn Priester, who was acquired from Pittsburgh last year for Nick York, an infield prospect who was simply blocked out. We're already talking about where is Marcelo Meyer and where is Christian Campbell going to play. Nick York had no chance of making this team and having a place to play in the infield. He started just one game, five innings, four hits and a run last year. Earlier in the season, in 10 games, six starts with Pittsburgh, a 5.04 ERA. He was 2-6, but he's 23 now, 24 years old. This kid's dynamic. I will say, there's some argument to be made that maybe you'd like to see him develop a little bit more. And then good old Dickie Fitz is the last of the four that were mentioned as potential fill-ins. So you're picking from that group of four for the final two spots in your rotation for an unknown amount of time. At very least, you're probably talking two trips around the rotation before you get clarity on probably Giolito first. Something next to me was moving actively and making quite the noise in our studio. I don't know what was going on there. But Richard Fitz, acquired in exchange for Alex Verdugo, who still doesn't have a job. David, he hasn't signed anywhere, right?
Nope.
Man. Nope, yikes. That is quite the indictment on
what a shame.
Heim Bloom. That maybe this is too many steps and I'm inferring too much, but Alex Verdugo, who was being mentioned in extension talks mid-2023, doesn't get extended by the Red Sox, traded for Richard Fitz, who, by the way, was 0-1 in four games, but a 1.74 ERA, 20 and two-thirds innings, had quite the little scoreless streak to start his major league career at 24 years old, no less. Now Verdugo is out of a job. And yeah, you're right. It breaks your heart. Really does. You know, David, what everybody says about him. One of the good guys of baseball.
Always
one of
showed up on time.
One of the fan favorites. You know who loves Alex Verdugo is Alex Cora. Alex Cora I bet you're going to have to interrupt Alex Cora if you get him talking about Alex Verdugo, because he'll just gush and gush and gush for as many hours as Alex Verdugo was late arriving to the ballpark in 2023. I was at that game. I was still in New York at the time. The game against Toronto. It was an afternoon game, and I can't remember who started in his place out in left field. But I'm like, what, this makes no sense. Where is Verdugo? And then you start to see it floating around on Twitter. Oh yeah, he was 2 hours late. You're supposed to show up at X. He blew past showing up at Y. He showed up at Z. I think it was 1 o'clock game, maybe he had to be there at 9, he was there at 11, or something like that, where if you had to be there a certain amount of time, he certainly wasn't. So he was traded to the Yankees in exchange for Richard Fitz, and if I'm picking between the four of them, for me, it's Fitz and it's Cooper Criswell. Quinn Priester coming from Pittsburgh showed a lot of promise for his age, but was also definitely rushed along by Pittsburgh. And I think there's still some growth to be done at the AAA level. You'd really like to see him, and I would extend this to a number of the Red Sox prospects. You'd like to see them go down and dominate at AAA And then maybe come second half of the season, if you have a you have another injury, I'd work him back into the mix. But Criswell, you know can handle can hold his own for a couple trips around the rotation. Hasn't looked amazing in the spring, but at least you've seen it on a major league mound. And Richard Fitz earned it. I mean, I know it was garbage time, but you were still playing games that mattered to other teams, and he looked like he belonged when he was on that mound. So of the four, that's where I would be leaning. As much as I like the feel good story of Sean Newcomb, and maybe you sign him and then you pass him through waivers after a couple of weeks. I don't know. I don't really have that strong of a take. It's a great hometown story, and I'd love to see him kind of rehab his career, because there's a good resume there for that player and from 2017 to 2019 with Atlanta. But I think you have exciting options internally. You have options that you've seen do it before at the major league level with Andrew Bailey as the pitching coach through the Red Sox pitching infrastructure as they continue to build it up. And I personally would be leaning towards the internal options. Let's see what you got. We know that our top three is set, and the expectations are varied. Crochet's expectations skyrocket every time he touches the mound. Hauk hasn't had a great spring, but you know when he's at his best what he's capable of. And as long as Walker Buehler's healthy, it seems like he's actively reinventing himself. He's got like 7 or 8 pitches at this point. He's never going to throw the same pitch mix in consecutive at-bats, and I think that Andrew Bailey is going to take that kind of skill set and run with it. I'm very excited to see what those two can do as long as Buehler stays healthy. You got to survive a couple of trips through the rotation with the guys that we mentioned. I would be leaning internal options, but again, I am not Alex Cora nor Craig Breslow, nor anybody that makes any kind of decisions. It's simply opinions based on what I saw last year. I think these guys have very simply earned it, and there's clearly a connection between them and Bailey that's brought out some good over the course of 2024 that I would be looking to capitalize on. But we'll continue the Red Sox conversation, including hearing from you at 617-779-7937. Let's lead off the calls with my good friend Matt in Rhode Island. Good afternoon, Matt. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Ball? Yeah, I called in on my guy, but I just want to say the reason why Cora always liked that player is because he should have been an all-star player, Verdugo, but he's an idiot. So, talent. He had a lot of talent, but anyway, the pitching staff, as you just described, you know, I think Cutter Crawford, he did have that problem with a home run ball, but I still think, he's a viable pitcher in the major leagues.
Yeah.
You mentioned Fisk and Criswell, which I'm pretty excited about seeing those guys, but my guy is Tanner Houck. I really think he's going to come through this year with 15 and 17 wins and hopefully a sub-4 ERA. I love his stuff. When they were bringing him back and forth from Worcester, just to kind of play with that rule about the money, about minor major league, he never made a stink.
Right.
He just always takes the ball. He's my guy.
Yeah.
I really think a lot of him.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ball.
Well put across the board, Matt. Thanks for the call. I'm excited. I mean, even with maybe a little bit of a regression in the second half, you're talking about a guy who was an all-star, and he still finished with a 3.12 ERA. 30 starts, had a complete game shutout, 9-10 record, and now he's playing on a team that can actually back him up a little bit and get him a bit of run support, which he sorely missed in that first half. Yeah, he should have that win total. He should have been, with the way that he pitched in the first half, he should have been sniffing that 15 win total just based on what he was able to accomplish. But that is neither here nor there. He is in the mix, and then you have the four that are trying to fill out those two spots at the end of the rotation, at least for a couple of weeks as we continue to get updates on the status of Crawford, Giolito, and Bayo. We'll continue the Red Sox conversation with your calls and text at 617-779-7937. Also on the table later in the show, the Boston Bruins. We heard from Don Sweeney, more admissions about where the Bruins are versus where they were before the trade deadline, and another eye-raising defeat. Remember when the Bruins shut out the Tampa Bay Lightning on the road last week? That feels like miles away based on what we saw. And the Patriots, they've signed a lot of guys on defense, but more and more players on offense off the board. All that will be on the table later on in our program. More Sox talk on the other side of this, and our update on what's trending from David Azar.
Probably like Shavuzi said, one, here comes the two to the three to the four.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over. Or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dan Ball on WEEI.
And here comes Rafi Devers. Rafi's been working on the practice fields and in the cages. And he's all smiles, ready to go today, ready to DH, which he's doing this afternoon.
Well, look who decided to show up is what I have to say to that call from the always fantastic to listen to Joe Castiglione. Back here on WEEI, reacting to the Red Sox victory here on this Sunday. 6-5, they hang on to defeat the Minnesota Twins. Sox are now 12-8 with a time extend there as well somewhere. And Garrett Crochet picks up the win in spring play. 4 innings, 2 hits and a run, 1 walk and 7 strikeouts, a couple of home runs, as you heard during the trending report from my good friend David. And yes, it was lovely. Quite honestly, it was nice to see Rafael Devers finally take some actual, real, I can see it on my television screen, spring training at-bats for the Red Sox. He did go 0-for-3 with a strikeout in his spring debut, but again, it was just that. It was a debut for a player that was working his way back from a shoulder injury. And there are a lot of levels to what's going on with Rafael Devers. And by the way, I also want to point you to an interview that Christian Arcan did with Sean McAdam on his show on Friday. You can download that on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast, because it was some clarification on a report that came out from McAdam earlier on in the day that was essentially alleging that Rafael Devers was so frustrated by the goings-on at the third base position this offseason, based on what he had been told earlier in the offseason, that he considered asking for a trade and at least had mentioned the idea to family and friends and confidants that were in his midst while all this was going on. And again, that's a bit more information than we got from Devers, who spoke to the media through a translator the day prior and confirmed that he had had conversations with the front office about how he felt about not playing third base or being the team's third baseman. He didn't get into specifics, and there was one line within that media availability that his translator said. He started a sentence that said, "Oh, if I told you what I said to the front office, it would make me seem like," and then he stopped, and then he said, "Well, those conversations are private." What was the descriptor that was going to come at the end of that sentence? Was it going to be, I don't know, selfish? Was it going to be something in that family of me over we? I don't know. But if he wants to be the third baseman and his conversation had anything to do with, "I don't care what's best for our team. I want to play. I don't care what you think is best for our team. I believe I'm the third baseman of this team," then that's probably what he was starting to wade his way into with that particular answer, but then stopped. And well, that should be a well-paid translator if he thought in real time, I'm about to say a sentence that's going to get this guy in a whole lot of trouble with the fan base. Look, I want to put this out there first and foremost. This sucks. Okay? That's where I'm starting. This entire situation blows. I wish, like nothing else, that this didn't have to be the conversation around spring training camp for the Red Sox. I wish nothing more than the fact that we could just have a resolution to this. If it was going to be Bregman playing third base, and Saint Bregman is and forever will be my third baseman on the 2025 Boston Red Sox, if that was the case, then we could see Devers work his way back from his injury, be the DH of this team, and that would be that, and nobody would say a word. Or if it was going to be Bregman at second, Devers at third, that would be the alignment that we saw, and nobody would say a word. The fact that this spilled over into the media, yes, it gives talking heads and idiots like me more fodder to discuss on the radio, and it gives fans more stuff to discuss while they're knocking back their Guinnesses on St. Patrick's Day weekend. Yes, that's all true, but I don't want any of this to be happening. I want peace and harmony in a spring training before a season that has a lot of promise on it. The Baseball Tonight podcast guys just wrapped up their episode predicting the AL East, and both Paul Hembekidis and Buster Olney had the Red Sox tops in the American League East. And the number that we get every time we ask is anywhere between 92 and 94 wins. That seems to be what people expect. And that's without whatever the big three prospects are going to be. Not a lot of prognosticators have them making the team out of camp. So that's just with, you know, David Hamilton as your second baseman and Willy Abreu still remembering how to hit and Sedan Rafael trying not to strike out every time and Connor Wong being a starting catcher-ish. That's with all of that. People are still saying 92 wins. Now, two of your five starters three of your six starters are dealing with injuries, so maybe those numbers are feeling a little bit lofty. You also really don't have a closer, per se, yet. But other than that, still a lot of excitement. And I wish that's just what it was. Because everything that's come out of Alex Bregman's mouth has seemed to turn to gold to this point. I love this player so far. Am I going to love him as much if he hits .150 in April? No. But we're sitting here in mid-March. All we know is what's there in front of us. And what I've seen so far is Bregman doing everything right, and Devers just stepping in it time after time after time. What I really hoped when this move was made, the Bregman move specifically, was Devers would feel that he no longer had to be in a situation where he was the mouthpiece of this team. Because it's been widely reported and understood that he does not want to be a leader. He does not want to be the leader of the team. He doesn't want to be the guy who the media goes to after the game and asks, "Well, why did this happen? Why did that happen?" He doesn't want to be the guy answering those questions. And when you sign the kind of contract that he did, it's kind of implied, well, you're going to be the one who faces the music, because three quarters of these guys are still on their rookie deals and haven't even hit arbitration yet. But he doesn't want to be that guy. So my hope was that regardless of where he was going to play, he would recognize this as hey, there's somebody who can take some of the pressure off of me. And I can focus on doing what I do best, and I won't be the face of the team when things go right or things go wrong. I can chime in when I want. I'll answer the questions that I want to. I'll understand them in English, but I'll respond in Spanish, which is also kind of funny. If you listen to the most recent media avail for Devers on Thursday, the reporters would ask the question in English. He would then respond in Spanish, fully understanding what was being asked to him, and then the translator would then give his response in English. So just a funny little nuance to what is just an increasingly interesting character for the Red Sox. That was my hope, and that hasn't come to fruition. So what we saw yesterday, Jarren Duran, Rafael Devers, Alex Bregman, Trevor Story, and Tristan Casas. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We saw Duran in center, Devers the DH, Bregman at third, Story at short, Casas is your first baseman. Save for Duran probably moving over to left and playing the monster until Roman Anthony is ready, that's probably your opening day starting five in the positions they'll be playing. And it just makes me wonder, all of this fodder about Devers being upset and potentially wanting to request a trade and being fed up and being lied to, or at least being misled. Again, it's a worry I don't want to have. Is it anything that's currently impacting the 2025 Red Sox? No. But think about the way that this spring has gone for your highest paid player, biggest contract in team history. He was going to play, then all of a sudden, no, he wasn't going to play. Then he was going to debut. Thank you. I've heard that a lot. I've heard that a lot from Rafael Devers. Is he sick of making all that money? Rafi, can you answer that question for me? You sick of making all the money you make every year?
No.
Thank you. I digress. It's just a cloud hanging over this season that I don't want to have happen. I simply don't. And I honestly don't know if there's a path for Devers to play third base moving forward. Because Bregman has opt-outs after every year of his contract. Could be here for 1 year. He's probably going to be here for all 3 years. He's making $40 million. I would be hard-pressed to believe that he's going to find a better deal than that. So you should probably forecast Alex Bregman being a Red Sox for the next 3 seasons. Which, by the way, fire me up. Make it 13 for all I care. Love that. Love that. That's my next captain of the Red Sox. I'm just kidding. But I love the impact that he's had so far. And any chance you ask me, I'm going to respond in kind. So third base for the next bit of time is blocked out. Shortstop is Trevor Story's until it's not. And Marcelo Meyer is going to play one of those two positions. Whoever leaves first whoever gets moved first is going to be replaced by Marcelo Meyer. He has been solely a left side of the infielder as a professional, only third and short. I've heard it bandied about Marcelo Meyer should be the opening day second baseman. He's been playing well, blah, blah, blah. Hasn't played a professional inning at second base, and I don't think he's played a spring training inning either. He is a left side of the infielder. He's going to play short or he's going to play third. And watch very carefully to see where he plays when he goes down to Worcester this year, because that'll give you a little bit of an idea where the Red Sox are at. Christian Campbell is going to be your second baseman at some point. I think he's shown during the spring that at some point he's going to be capable of being a very good major leaguer. I just don't think he's there yet. Go take advantage of the service time. Let him work out some of the defensive kinks in second base. There should not be an inning played by the Worcester Red Sox unless he needs a day off where he shouldn't be playing second base. Don't put him at short. Don't put him at third. Don't put him in left. Keep him at second and play him there every single game until he's ready to join the Red Sox. And between David Hamilton and Romy Gonzalez and probably a couple games of Alex Bregman, you'll fill that gap until he's ready. So I say all of that in a long-winded nature here on WEEI, where you can join the conversation at 617-779-7937 via call and via text with your thoughts on the infield debacle for the Red Sox and who should play where. I say all of that to say I just don't think that Rafael Devers is a third baseman for this team any longer. There isn't room. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want there to be room because this is better. This is great. I love how this is shaping up. The fact that you have a World Series champion and a dynamic right-handed hitter and a Gold Glove caliber third baseman playing third base now, taking over for a guy who literally has cost his team more in terms of defensive runs saved than any other infielder in baseball since 2017. You fix that. Trevor Story is healthy, swinging a good bat so far in the spring. Whether or not that will continue, I don't know. He's injury prone at this point, so you have to factor that in. He's not going to play 162 games, so you will have to fill that spot at some point. Second base, you know you're kind of in a holding pattern right now. And that's fine, because three of the four infield positions are set, and that second base spot is eventually going to belong to a guy who is widely regarded as a top 5-4-3 prospect in baseball, and Christian Campbell, who has all the tools, seemingly, to be a fantastic player in this league, with some understood growing pains that will come as part of that. You have great options right now. You have fantastic options. Endeavors just isn't one of them. And the natural question that comes up, because this has been a near weekly conversation for, you know, every show and every day part on this station, the flagship of the Boston Red Sox. So why not talk Sox? What happens to Masataka Yoshida in that situation? He's going to play. When you have right-handers on the mound in select situations, he's going to play. Again, none of this will be set in stone, which is annoying for a completely different reason. I am not a fan of the moving parts, the play the percentages, the lefty-righty matchups, the blah, blah. You play here one day and there the next. I don't like that, and I would imagine a lot of players don't either. Tell me where I'm playing, tell me where I'm hitting, and leave it alone. But that's not the way that analytics work. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of mixing and matching as these sides try to figure this thing out. But the Devers cloud over the season is legitimate. It worries me. The fact that there's even one iota of reporting from an extremely reliable Red Sox source that he was so upset by the way the team handled things this offseason that the idea of a trade even entered his mind. What? So what happens if things go according to plan? If Story's healthy, if Bregman's healthy, and if they both play well, and the only place that you can play Rafi is DH, what happens? Does that thought of requesting a trade become a reality? And then what? What do I do with that information? Do I call Toronto and go, hey, want to flip disgruntled designated hitters? That'd be kind of sick, but you also have to pay Vlad, and he's probably going to cost you more than you paid Rafael Devers. So it's just, again, I understand that this is a business. It's moving parts. They're trying to do what's good for the team. The player's trying to advocate for himself, whatever. I understand all the nuances to what is a touchy situation. I'm a fan of the Boston Red Sox, and I hate that I have to talk about this and continue to hear about it and be on pins and needles every time that I see Rafael Devers will speak with the media. I'm like, what's he gonna tell me through a translator this time? What's the holdup? What's the pushback? What's the problem now? And I just don't want it, because for the first time since 2021, there's actual reason to be excited, because the team actually spent real tangible dollars on Major League Baseball players this offseason. One side note on that, and our good man, boss man Ken Laird tweeted this during the course of the broadcast this afternoon. Garrett Crochet should have an extension yesterday. I need that man paid. Before I can truly say the Red Sox are back and maybe they're starting to outgrow the Interest Kings moniker of the last half decade, I need an extension for Crochet. He's not going to take it. He's not going to take it into the season. I need that done. And I tell you what, it would probably benefit the Red Sox to get it done sooner rather than later, because there's a very good chance that he goes out and shoves this offseason, and then you're paying even more than you were already. So I would love over the next week to 10 days to hear that. I don't think it's going to, but I'd love that. Anyways, my point being, crochet extension or not, you spent money. When you went out there and signed Alex Bregman to the kind of contract that you did, opt-outs and deferred money or not, you spent $120 million. Whether you're paid in 2075 is not my problem. You spent the money. And now I have to talk about the guy that you pay more money in total than anybody and be worried about, well, AC just posted the lineup, but what does Devers feel about it? Devers, are you happy right now? Sorry, I caught David sleeping.
No.
Thank you. No, he's not. And I'm worried, okay? I am. And I don't want to be. I'm sick of worrying about this guy. But you know what? You know what solves all these issues? You know what solves it? A lot of times, and I'm hoping this applies to Rafael Devers, because he was more apologetic for a lot of that media availability. Before all the stuff about I went and met with the front office, it was very much like I'll play where they tell me to play for the good of the team, all that kind of stuff that we were hoping that we'd hear in the first place. He did seem like he was starting to take that tone a little bit, but again, there's just then he steps in it, and then we have to have conversations like this. Winning solves all of this, to get back to my point, because I did forget where I was going with that. But winning does solve a lot of these things. So if the Red Sox can come out of the gate hot in a division that is jump ball at this point, I'd also like to put that on the record. What is going on with the New York Yankees? I mean, goodness gracious. Gerrit Cole's arm is falling off. Both of Giancarlo Stanton's arms are falling off. Double tennis elbow? What? What is he doing in the offseason? What kind of backwards-ass workouts are you doing where you come into spring training and all you do is hit and you have double tennis elbow? And God knows when we're going to see him. So they're falling apart. Luis Gil's already hurt. Devin Williams looked so bad without a beard that they changed a like century-old rule. And they're just going to look to Aaron Judge and go, hey, you just won the MVP and put up like a 10 war, but can you do like a 20? Can you do what you do, but also do what Juan Soto did last year? Meanwhile, you know, Paul Goldschmidt is dragging his bones back out there to play first base. They saw an old, aging first baseman in Anthony Rizzo for the last 2 years and said, you know what? Let's do the same thing, but make it a righty this time. I love it. Brian Cashman, man, that guy's job is safer than anyone's. I wish I had that kind of job security to put out mediocre rosters and spend more money than God and have everybody now looking at it being like, well, you're an Aaron Judge injury away from missing the playoffs with like a top three payroll in baseball. I love it. Now, I don't love the you don't root for anybody to get hurt, obviously. That's not what I'm saying. But in total, to see their downfall with the kind of money they spend is laugh out loud funny to me. Toronto, everybody seems to hate each other and themselves. Tampa, I don't know. They're playing in a spring training park, and they're always going to be pesky. Kevin Cash is an outstanding manager. They do a nice job developing players. But again, there's not a ton of firepower there. And then Baltimore is the ultimate wild card. But already Grayson Rodriguez is having arm issues, and you know, their young guys are good, but is Jackson Holliday going to take that step? I say all of that to say this. The division's there for the taking, and the American League is wide open right now. So why on, what day is it? March the 16th at 4:44 p.m., which reminds me, we are late for a commercial break. Why do I have to continue to go, why is Rafael Devers doing this? Why are you doing this to me? Rafi, please. I'm just hit bombs. Be a DH. Be the next Big Poppy. Slightly less Big Poppy, even though his own manager did call him Big Boy this offseason, which did not make me feel good. Just go hit bombs in the middle of our lineup, and everybody's going to love you. I promise. 617-779-7937. I see your calls on the Red Sox. We'll get to them on the other side. We'll also take the conversation to the court and to the ice. Some history for Peyton Pritchard and some frustration if you root for the Boston Bruins. All that coming up next.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Dan Ball on WEEI.
Three balls, two strikes, two down in the ninth. Bases empty, 6-5 Red Sox. Here's the pitch. And that is strike three called. Ball game over. A dominant start from Garrett Crochet. Homers from Wong and Rafaela. Very happy Sunday here in the Grapefruit League.
617-779-7937 is the number, reacting to many a story floating around the Boston Red Sox in spring training after a Sunday win. Let's go to the phones. Steve is in Providence. Good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. I'm good. Listen, the solution with Devers is put him at first. You know, either whether he's splitting time over there with Tristan Casas or you trade Tristan Casas and then give him 25, 30 games at third base. When you're resting Bregman,
okay,
to extend his career 10 years.
Okay, all right, Steve. Thank you for the call. It's that theory has kind of gone quiet. I'm not going to agree. I want to see what Tristan Casas has in the tank, and I want to see if that second half of 2023 that we saw, where he was one of the better hitters in baseball, I want to see if there was anything to that. Or if it's just going to be another year of frustration. I will say, though, I do kind of believe that Casas may end up getting moved regardless. As in, he's going to get a year to try to recoup some value from what was just a really bizarre year last year. Think about the narrative that's going to be building in. So he's going to be the main character of the Netflix documentary. Like, he, the first trailer that they put out was literally just him swearing at himself. It was one of the most bizarre trailers for anything I've ever seen. It was just him having a bad at bat, and just, come on, half of it was bleeps, which was, you know, great. And we would have had a field day with it on the radio where you can't play any of that. So he's going to be this, you're going to learn all about him from a personal side at the beginning of the year. Then he's going to get a chance at first base to play, and hopefully you're going to recognize some of what he proved in 2023. And then I wonder if he's on the move, because these Vlad Jr. rumors aren't going to go anywhere. So, yes, you're going to have to sign a massive contract for that player, and I understand that. And Costas is under team control for a while. So it does make more financial sense, and we know the Sox are always cognizant of financial sense. It does make more sense for them to keep Costas in the mix, but I don't know. The rumors, no player was rumored to be moved more this offseason than Costas. Every single player that seemed to be on the trade market, the Sox were like, can we trade you, Tristan, for him? And every team said, no, you cannot. Even for Luis Castillo. I tell you what, man, the Seattle Mariners, goodness gracious, you had Tristan Costas and Masataka Yoshida for the statistically worst offensive team in baseball last year, and you turned your nose up at that for an aging starter. If that's actually true, God bless you. But anyways, as much as I understand the thought process, because Toronto did do that with Vlad, they moved him from third to first, and it worked. And I would wonder maybe if that's something that they would explore in 2025. But there would have been some kind of sign that they were thinking that by now. I haven't seen Devers take a single ground ball over at first base yet. So maybe if the team's seeming dire need to get rid of Tristan Casas is legitimate and they move him after next year, maybe he's your 2025 first baseman, maybe, and that's where Marcelo Meyer jumps in at some point. Again, this is just all throwing you know what at a wall. I'm just trying to see if any of this sticks. My issue with Devers playing first is that a lot of times his error, it seems like he would just lose focus. It was the easy ground balls, the easy plays, that just the routine ones, that he'd sail a throw or he'd clunk. He honestly, to his credit, has made some spectacular plays. Diving plays ranging one way or the other. Like, he's actually made some highlight reel plays. It's just the easy stuff. It's the kind of play where Will Fleming is looking down at his scorebook, already starting to draw in or already starting to write in 5-3 for the putout third to first. And then he looks up and goes, oh, why is that one in row 5 right now? It's those kind of plays. So when you're a first baseman, you have to have good hands, which I think Devers does, because he's able to make some difficult plays, but you got to be focused and you got to be disciplined. And I can't have his mind wandering out there and screwing up easy plays and costing you runs. So I'm not in on that. I think it's going to take a lot of work to get him ready to do that. Personally, I think it's going to take a lot of work to try to get him first base ready. And there just isn't a crumb of that yet. But never say never. I think it's certainly a possibility because, again, the depth behind the third base and shortstop positions is significant. You're going to have to play these guys somewhere. Also, Alex Cora was catching some strays in our text line from the 860. Oh, last season, 2024, there was exactly two consecutive games where delusional Cora, oh boy, posted the same exact batting order. Oh, wow. Does this mean Cora is a good manager? Absolutely not. My dead grandmother could manage a big league team better than babbling, blubbering Cora. Put that on the record! Exclamation point. From the 860, Connecticut is pissed right now. Meanwhile, from the 617, play Massa in the outfield, trade Abreu, and play Anthony in right field with a little baseball emoji. Now, that was a little bit nicer. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen, but it might. It could. It may. I don't know. I think all of the big three, I think they're going to use the service time to their advantage, and and end up making that move with all of the big three and see where you go with Rafaela in center field and things like that. But I'm excited. I'm excited. But, yeah, the conversation around Rafael Devers and the infield alignment will certainly continue moving forward. Just an update for the, I don't know, one or two of you that care. Weather delay in the Players' Championship right now on the PGA Tour. They're supposed to resume play middle of the final round at 5:15. I just saw that pop up on the TV. So a lot going on in some of your non-Big Four sports as Selection Sunday is today. We'll have coverage of Selection Sunday and the unveiling of the bracket right after my show at 6 o'clock this evening. So stay tuned for that to hear where the bracket top will be going here in 2025. We'll continue our conversation moving into hour number two here on WEEI. In the 5 o'clock hour, Don Sweeney, more comments and more honesty, which I appreciate, about the state of the Boston Bruins and where the franchise is headed. That's next.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.